Stay tuned now for an Islamic point of view. This morning featuring a lecture by Imam Mamadou Touré entitled Quranic Solutions for the Ummah of Muhammad. Quranic Solutions for the Community of Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله الحمد لله واحد الأحد الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الذي يضع الإنسان إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد البشير النذير صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وشاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا ودائيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منير وعلى آله وصحابه طيبين طاهرين ومن تبعهم بالإسلام والإيمان والإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. The subject of our short khutbah today is Quranic solutions for the state of the Ummah today. All over the Muslim world, there's a certain type of conference that often takes place, which is called State of the Ummah conferences. These are conferences that are taking place all over the Muslim world, during which scholars gather together and hold these conferences where they discuss the reasons why the Ummah is in the condition in which it is in, and at the same time they propose solutions. Often during these conferences, these groups are divided in two. One group points the fingers at forces outside of Islam and say these are the reason why we're in the condition in which we are in. Often those forces outside of Islam, that is essentially the West, that they blame for the condition in which the Ummah is. The second group is part of a group, or an emerging group if you will, that is called Muslim apologetics. And these are Muslims that propose a radical revision of the core Islamic texts. They say to make it more quote-unquote suitable to the 21st century. Both of these groups and both of these quote-unquote solutions are not only wrong, but they are also dangerous. They are wrong and they are dangerous, and what makes them dangerous is because they put the Ummah in worse and worse situation than what we find ourselves in already, or at least perpetrate the current condition in which we find ourselves. Those who point the finger to the West and to the quote-unquote forces outside of Islam say it's the West. You are the reason why we are in this condition. You are the one who is oppressing us, and we have to take revenge. Then terrorism is born, and 9/11 is born, and the bombings in London is born, which contributes in giving this idea of Islam as being a religion of violence, not just even violence, but wanton violence, a religion that condones the killing of innocent people. For those who propose a revision of the sacred texts of Islam, meaning essentially we have to revise the Quran and make it more adaptable to our times, we have to revise the Hadith and make it more suitable to our time, without understanding that the core of it does not change. But within the Quran and within the Hadith are inner structures that allow it to be applied to every single time that will come until the Day of Judgment. Because this is the last book that will come, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last prophet that would come. What they have failed to do is, if we're going to talk about the issues of the Ummah, if we are going to talk about the condition in which we find ourselves in, we have to look into the Quran for not only the reasons why we are in this condition, but more importantly for the solutions, because Allah says that He sent the Quran tibyana likulli shay, that it has the explanation and the exposition of absolutely everything and any question that we can have. When we look at the condition of the Ummah and the reasons and the solutions for that in the light of the Quran, then we come with four very fundamental points. The first one is that success, if we're going to have success, the success will only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first point. No matter what we do, no matter how many conferences we hold, the help will only come from Allah. And once that help of Allah comes, then we will have success. This is what Allah says in the Quran in many verses. وَمَعْ نَصْرَ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْعَدِيدِ الْحَكِيمِ Allah says, and help comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, full of majesty and full of wisdom. This is Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 126. The help only comes from Allah. But what happens when the help of Allah comes? إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ Allah says in the Quran, إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ If Allah helps you, there is no one or nothing that can defeat you. And what that means is that anything that we commit ourselves to doing, we will be successful at doing that if we have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ And this is Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 160. So then we know that we cannot be successful unless we receive help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not free. And this is the point that is missed by anybody, by many people. That help of Allah is not free. What comes from Allah? Allah does not give anything except with that giving comes responsibility, which means essentially then it is really not giving. The wealth that we have, we say Allah gave us this. If I give you $10 and I say, here, I give you $10, you can take a match and burn it, and there will be no accounting because it's yours. You can give it to somebody else, you can spend it any which way you like. The wealth that we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment, we are going to be called to account for that. So it's not really a gift. If Allah gave it to us, and on the Day of Judgment, we will be asked about wealth, two questions the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. How we acquired the wealth and how we spent it. Even if we have been poor all of our lives, we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and answer this question. So that what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that help that is the only way we can reach success, is not something that is free. It is conditioned. It is attached to conditions. That there are certain conditions that the Ummah needs to fulfill if we are to receive the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the second point. Allah says in the Quran, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ In Surah Rum, Ayah 47, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, We have made it incumbent upon us. حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا We've made it an obligation upon us, meaning Allah, نَصْرُ to help, and here the conditions come, مُؤْمِنِينَ Not كَانَ عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ No, I have made it incumbent upon me to help those who fulfill the criteria of Iman. Surah Rum 47. In Surah Muhammad, Ayah 7, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا in tansurullaha yansurkum. O you who believe, if you help in the way of Allah, then Allah will help you. This is the condition. And as a side note, in this verse is an example, or one of the many examples, where you cannot translate the Quran literally from what it says, but rather the meaning, because the literal meaning would have absolutely no sense. In this, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, if you believe, O you who believe, إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ, if you translate literally, that means, if you help Allah, يَنْصُرْكُمْ, then Allah will help you. And we know that Allah does not need any help from us. إِنَّ لَهَا غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah is absolutely free from need and want. So that the proper translation is, even though many says, O you who believe, if you help Allah, Allah will help you. That's a wrong translation. إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah is totally free from need, so that it should be translated as, these, if you help in the way of Allah, if you help establish the deen of Allah on earth, then Allah will come to your help. And in Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهَ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ. And Allah will help those who help in His way. Surah Hajj, Ayah 40, then Allah will help those who help to establish the deen of Allah on earth. Those that help to establish the Quran and the Sunnah on earth. Those who work to establish the way of Islam on earth, Allah says, Allah will help you, Allah will help them, and Allah will come to their succor. So this is the second point. So that the divine help that comes from Allah can only come if we fulfill the criteria of Iman. And that is that we attach ourselves to Allah, and that means to His Quran, into Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is to His Sunnah, then we will receive the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third point is that if we fail to fulfill this criteria of attachment to the Quran and to the Sunnatul Mutahhara, then the result will be that Allah will withdraw His support from us. Because we are not establishing the deen, Allah will restore His support from us. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَحُمْ. Surah Tawbah, Ayah 67, one of the most frightening verses in the Quran. نَسُوا اللَّهَ, they forgot Allah, فَنَسِيَحُمْ, and Allah forgot all about them. And what will be our state if Allah forgets about us? Because we rely on and need and seek so much of Him, and of His help, and of His succor, and of His sustenance, and of His guidance, and of His protection. What happens if He withdraws all of that from us? نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. So many passages in the Quran warns us about forgetting about Allah, lest Allah Himself forgets us. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And don't be like the communities that came before, that forgot Allah. And not only Allah forgot them, but Allah made them to forget themselves. You lose your identity as a Muslim. This is فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. You forget who you are. You walk around like somebody that has amnesia. Don't remember their name, don't remember their age, don't remember where they were born, don't remember where they came from, like you have amnesia. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَعَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَلَيْكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. So that not fulfilling this criteria will result in Allah withdrawing His support from us. But if we fulfill this criteria of Iman as an ummah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us the beneficent, or the beneficiaries of His support and of His help. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ghafir, Ayah 51, إِنَّا لَنَنْصُرُوا رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ دُنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ. Allah says, we will help our messengers, and we will help those who have faith. We will help them not only in this world, فِي الْحَيَاةِ دُنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ, and we will also help them not only in this world, I will help them, and on the day of judgment, the day when the witnesses stand, I will also help them. This is Surah Al-Ghafir, Ayah 51. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah An-Nur, Ayah 55, وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم. Allah says, and Allah has promised to those among you who have faith and do good deeds that He will establish them successfully on earth just like He did with those who came before this generation. So that these four points are very important to understand why we are in the Ummah is in the condition in which it is right now. That help only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, that help is conditioned to us fulfilling certain conditions. If those conditions are not fulfilled, Allah will withdraw His help from us. And if these conditions are fulfilled, then Allah will make us the beneficiaries of His support. In the Quran, there is one verse that beautifully summarizes the reason why the Ummah is in the condition in which it is in. And there is another verse in the Quran that proposes a solution to the condition of the Ummah. Both of these verses are in Surah At-Tawbah, and we will look at them when we return, inshaAllah.
اللهم يا من ولد
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We often forget that a community is made up of individuals. That a community is nothing but a group of individuals that come together and then they form a community. So that the condition of a community, and we're talking about the community of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in general, so that the condition of a community, whether it is a good condition or a bad condition, is nothing but the result of the collective consciousness and attitude of the individuals who make up that community. And what that means is that your individual attachment to the Quran and to the Sunnah, by your attachment or lack of attachment to the Quran and to the Sunnah, by our attachment or lack of attachment to the Sharia of Islam, we determine, we participate in the fate of the Ummah. Whether that faith is good or whether that faith is bad. This idea of individual responsibility is often forgotten when we attend these conferences that talk about the state of the Ummah. Yet in the verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the reasons why we are in the condition in which we are in, that concept of individual responsibility can be clearly seen. Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, in Ayah 24, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِينُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٌ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي قَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah says, in kana, tell the Prophet ﷺ to tell the believers. Qul, Allah gave him a text. In kana aba'ukum, if your fathers and your forefathers, wa abna'ukum, and your children, wa ikhwanukum, and your brothers, wa azwajukum, and your spouses, wa ashiratukum, and your relatives, wa amwalun iqtaraftumuha, and this wealth that you've saved, وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, and the commerce, the business, whatever kind of business, investments that you fear that maybe I will lose some money in this business venture or in this investment or in this job that I do. This وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِينُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, and if the beautiful houses that you built and you delight in, if all of these are more beloved to you, if you love them more than you love Allah and His Messenger and the striving in the way of Allah, then wait until Allah brings down His judgment upon you, because Allah does not guide a people that are wrongdoers. This is Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 24. If the love that we have for the forefathers, for the spouses, for the monies, for the businesses, for the houses, for the dunya, if we love these, Allah says, if you love these more, then you love Allah and His Messenger and the striving in His path, then my judgment is coming down upon you because I don't guide wrongdoers. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي قَوْمُ الْفَاسِقِينَ. If we look at this verse with integrity and we look at it with sincerity, we will see that a lot of the problems that the ummah has exist as a result of we are more attached to the dunya and we are more attached to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Quran. So that instead of pointing the fingers at outside forces, it's America that is doing it, it's the West that is doing it, it's the government that is doing it, we need to look at ourselves. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرٌ. Allah says in the Quran. Especially when we understand them in the deep sense in which they are meant in the Quran. For instance, Allah says, إِن كَانَ آبَعَكُمْ. Literally, it means your fathers. But in this verse of the Quran, not only your fathers, but the traditions of your fathers, the ways of your fathers, the cultures of your fathers. If your culture is more important to you than Islamic culture, and we Africans, we Pakistani, we Sudanese, we all grew up in particular cultural practices. Allah says, if you are choosing those cultural practices above what Allah has asked you to do, because this is what the Meccans did when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to them to teach them, to tell them, come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did He tell them? بَلْ وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. No, we're not interested in that. This is what we found our forefathers doing, and this is what we are going to stick to. Like that is an example. This is an example. If the cultures of your fathers then, and the way of your fathers are more important to you, then Allah will bring down His judgment. إِخْوَانُكُمْ. In إِخْوَانُكُمْ, not just your physical brothers, but brothers within a restrained group, meaning members of a movement, members of a particular ideology, members of a certain group. Most of the time, even though we are Muslims, these people have their ideology, they have more loyalty to the ideology of the group than to the ideology of the Quran and to the ideology of the Sunnah. If it is a group or organization, most of the time, it's more, they obey more the sheikh. And this is not something that people hear, but we that are born in African countries and even in Pakistani countries, most of us know what I'm talking about, because that's not an issue that you find so much among other people, African people that are born in this country. We follow sheikhs. Well, my sheikh said this. When your sheikh is not mentioned in the Quran, Allah did not send your sheikh to us. Allah says, أَتُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتُوا الرَّسُولُ. But no, what the Sheikh said, this is how we do it. Because this is what the Sheikh said, not what Allah said and not what His Messenger said. This is the Ikhwanikum. And then of course the Hubbu Dunya, the inordinate love that we have for the world, the houses that Allah mentioned, the beautiful houses that you delight in, and this commerce and this business that you have, and not knowing that pursuing it is not going to make it any better. But if you obey Allah in relation to it, then Allah is going to make your business better. When Allah praises people in the Quran, Allah praises a particular type of people. These are the people that Allah says, even though they're involved in businesses, even though they're involved in work, even though they're involved in commerce, this never prevents them from the remembrance of Allah and from following the Sharia. Allah says, رِجَالٌ مِنْ لَا تُلْحِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْءٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. Surah An-Nur. So that Allah says, these are the reasons why you are more attached to these things than you are attached to the Quran and to the Sunnah. And this is why I have withdrawn my support from you. Because if you look at the state of the Ummah, you can tell very clearly that the support of Allah, Allah says, if I support you, you cannot be defeated. Wherever Muslims are, all over, they are being defeated. We say Islam is a religion of knowledge, and the highest illiteracy rates in the world are among Muslim countries. And we say Islam is a religion. How can we let the non-Muslims believe that Islam is a religion of knowledge when the rate of illiteracy is higher than in any other, or the highest are among the Muslim countries? We say that Islam is a religion of cleanliness, when if you travel in the Muslim world, some of the dirtiest places in the world are places, these are Muslim places. We say Islam is a religion of justice and of balance, which is what is meant to be because of the zakat, and you go into Muslim countries and you see the huge gap that exists between those who have filthy rich and the people that are going day to day without being able to have one meal during the day and are living in shacks. If you go to Mecca, right outside of Mecca, not even too far from Mecca, you go around the corner and you see shacks that mostly Indonesians, Pakistani, some of the foreigners live in conditions that if you see them, this is even worse than in the worst third world country, and they're doing it right around the corner from the haram. And we can help, and we hope, and we wonder why we're in the condition that we're in. This is supposed to be the people that are the custodians of the holy cities, and this is taking place right before their eyes, and they know that this is taking place. There's nothing that is provided for them. In shacks, families, horrendous. The solution? Surah At-Tawbah, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah says the solution is, I made a bargain with you. You give me your whole self, and you give me everything that I have given you, your whole wealth. And in return, I will give you peace in this world, and I will give you peace in the hereafter. This is the Sa'adatu Dharain. So then, what are the solutions that the Quran is proposing? One, the giving of one's whole self and one's whole wealth on the altar of sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we attach ourselves to the Quran and to the Sunnah above all else. That groups, ideologies, cultures, Allah takes precedence and His Messenger. That we enter into the deen, the whole of it, and not pick and choose what we do and what we don't do. And that we constantly keep in mind the Akhirah. And one of the ways of keeping in mind in Akhirah is not only through the Salat and through the community coming together, but through the people. I see Muslims that come in this country and they're praying, they're coming into the masjid all the time. Especially the young people, especially the young Somali people. And within a month or 2 months, you see them out in the street in conditions that are absolutely horrendous. Why? Because there's something that is missing. And that is what is called the Suhbatul Abrar. The company that we keep. Very, very vital. These are young people that come in. You see them in the masjid, Masjid Bilal. I'm over there at Masjid Bilal all the time. What is happening with the young people, especially the teenage Somali young people, you cannot describe it. And it's all because of the company. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, and we close with this hadith. He said he was asked, Hayyu julasaina khair. He was asked, who among the people that we sit with are the best? So the question was, who should we sit down with? Who should we keep company with? Who should we quote unquote hang out with? The Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man dhakarakum Allah ru'yatuh. One that if you see him, you are immediately reminded of Allah at the mere sight of him or her. ذَكَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ رُؤَيَةً. He says, ذَادَكُمْ وَذَادَكُمْ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْ تَقُهُ. And that if you sit down with him, his speech will result in increase in knowledge for you. وَذَادَكُمْ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْ تَقُهُ. And when he speaks, your knowledge increases. And now sit down with someone for 2 hours and they're constantly talking and you live at it and you haven't learned absolutely nothing. Because it is all lagwi. He said, وَذَكَرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهِ. And his actions or her actions are such that if you look at his actions, you are reminded of the akhirah. These are the conditions.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
You've been listening to An Islamic Point of View this morning, featuring a lecture by Imam Mamadou Touré of the Muslim Community Center, located in Northeast Portland. A lecture entitled Quranic Solutions for the Community of Muhammad. For more information on Islam, please contact the Muslim Community Center, located at 3801 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, or telephone number 503-281-7691. Stay tuned for Pathways.